This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Habayim to the Kollel Agra de Pirka Monday afternoon national shiur. We have an amazing topic today, connecting Parshas Truma, Parshas Shkolim, Purim, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. I'm not sure if I even ever gave this shiur as a shiur by itself, so here we go. We have very exciting news. If anybody wants to join us on our upcoming journey, which is going to take place during the Yemei HaSfira, right before Lag BaOmer, for the very first time we're going to Eastern Europe, and we're going to go to Belarus, which has not been available for Americans for a number of years. We're going to go to Radin, to the Chafetz Chaim's Kever, for Shabbos in Vilna, to the Vilna Goin, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Ar Sameach, the Rugachever, Reb Shimon Shkop, Mir, Slabotka, Panovich. Okay, Parshas Truma, Maimer Mem Gimel. Okay, here we go. V'yikhu li Truma. V'yikhu li Truma. We all know the Parsha begins. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to Bnei Yisrael. V'yikhu li Truma. Me'ez kalish asher yedvenu libay, tikhu es trumasi. Rashi says, v'yikhu li truma, li lishmi. It's not enough, v'yikhu truma, it's not enough to give it, it's not enough to take it. It has to be with the right intentions. So, here you have a Jew, he was opening up his checkbook, he was going to write out $1 million check. And he told Moshe, I'm going to write $1 million check, make sure you give me a big plug. Make sure you make me a nice mishaberach. Make sure you give me the right recognition. Moshe Rabbeinu said, save your ink. We're not taking your check. The guy says, what? You're not taking my check? What's wrong with my money? Nothing's wrong with my money. We don't like your intentions. You're not giving it lashma. Can you imagine such a thing? Imagine a shul was having a dinner, and a guy gets up at the dinner. He says, I want everyone to know, I'm the most generous guy in the shul. I'm pledging $2 million to the shul. And he writes out a check on the spot. And he says, everybody, I want you to honor me. Give me recognition. What do we do with this man's check? We cash it immediately. That's what we do with it. Yeah, but he's not giving it lishma. He's giving it for kavod. Okay, that's his issue. But in terms of the Beis HaKnesses, they'll take the money. You know what it says? La'olam tikach. You take it. That's the rule. All of a sudden, when it comes to the Mishkan, we have such high standards that if the guy does not give it lishma, then we're not going to accept the money. Why would that be? Why would we only accept the money if this gentleman gives the money lishma? All of a sudden, it has to be lishma. Don't Chazal say la'olam yasek adam etavra mitzvahs shaloi lishma, shemitoich shaloi lishma, ba lishma? Why would it not be enough that he's giving the money? And as we're about to learn, that this hakpada, that the truma be given lishma, was not a maila, it's le'ikuva. And we're going to learn something very amazing that it says in Sefer Melachim and in Devei Hayamim. In Melachim, the message was sent to Hiram, the king of Tsur, and it said as follows, Ata yadata es David avi. You knew David, my father, Shlomo says to Hiram, he was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because of the war, Asher Sivavuhu, that surrounded him. Ad Teis Hashem, Itam Tachas Kapos Raglai. Va'ata Hiniach Hashem Leikoyli Misaviv, Ein Satan, Ve'ein Pegara. Shlomo HaMelech tells Hiram, David HaMelech was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash because of the wars. And I say, V'hinani Oimer, Livnois Bayis, L'shem Hashem Eloikai, Kasher Diber Hashem El David Avi Leimar, Bincha Asher Etain, Tachtecha Al Kisacha, Hu Yivne Habayis Lishmi. Okay, so Shlomo HaMelech is saying to Hiram, my father David was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but I am and I'm going to do it. Now, what's the reason why David cannot build the Beis HaMikdash? Because of wars. Simply, what's wrong with wars? Like we're accustomed to learning, that David's hands were, so to speak, stained with blood. David says to Shlomo, as reported in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Parakhas, Pasuk Zayin, through Yud, David said to Shlomo, my son, I wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem said to me, Dam l'roiv shafachta, you spilled so much blood. U'melchama is gedoy lo sasisa, you waged so many wars. Lo sivne bayis l'shmi, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Ki damim rabim shafachta artzalafana, you spilled a lot of blood before me. You're going to have a son, Hashem tells David. He's going to be a man of tranquility. I will give him respite from his enemies around him. His name will be Shlomo, and he will have tranquility. He will build the Beis HaMikdash for my sake. Okay? So simply, the reason David could not build the Beis HaMikdash is, so to speak, his hands were stained with blood. We know there's an idea that the Beis HaMikdash prolongs the life of a person, and David HaMelech took the lives of people, and therefore it was not appropriate for him to build the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, there's a shaila in halacha, if a chayal killed the enemy, and he's a kohen, is he allowed a duchen? We once spoke about that. Let's say you have a guy, he's fighting in the Israeli army, he kills the enemy, is he allowed a duchen? Usually we say, roitzeach al yisas kapav. Someone who murders, he cannot raise his hands. His hands are stained in blood. Rav Soloveitchik reported in the Sefer Nefesh Harav, page Kuf Lamed Beis, Oisei, he paskins that if a soldier kills the enemy, he is now at a duchen. Like the pasuk says by David, Damim Rabim Shafachta Artzalofanai. Rav Avadi Yosef in Yechavadas, Chelakei Simon Yodad paskins, only if he killed a Yisrael, but not if he killed an Akum. And he explains, Ah, you'll ask that Hashem told David HaMelech, Dam laroiv shafachta, u'melchama yizkedoylois asisa, loy sivna bayis l'shmi. So that seems to indicate that David, who killed the enemy, was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Avadi Yosef says, look in the Radak. The Radak says, Dam laroiv shafachta is going on innocent blood. He caused the demise of Noiv Ir HaKaihanim, which was the Siba for killing the Kaihanim. Like it says, Anoichi HaSibaisi B'chol Nefesh Beis Avicha. In any event, we know there is such a value that someone who takes a life is not allowed to... Duchen. So simply, David could not build the Beis HaMikdash because he is responsible for bloodshed. However, the Malbim has a wondrous understanding of this. The Malbim understands that the reason why David was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, he has a novel interpretation. You know, so many times in Malachim, it says that Shlomo said, you know my father David, ki lo yuchal livnois bayis l'shem Hashem. Or, I am going to build the bayis l'shem Hashem. Or bincha asher etein tachtecha hu yivna bayis l'shmi. Also in Divrei Hayamim, also it emphasizes the building of the Beis HaMikdash has to be l'shma. And the Malbim says something incredible. The Malbim says that the reason why David was not able to be involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not because of laziness, and it's not that he was busy in war, and it means as follows. And he quotes what he says in the Artzus HaShalom, that the Iker Mitzvah of the building is not the edifice itself. The Iker Mitzvah was building it l'shma, was building it without any ulterior motives, any personal benefit. Like it says three times, l'shem Hashem, l'shem Hashem, l'shem Hashem. The problem was it would not have been humanly possible for David HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash without ulterior motives. Why? Because David HaMelech was promised that through the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be respite from the enemy. And since David was constantly fighting wars, he stood to personally gain by the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Namely, that if he would build the Beis HaMikdash, he would have tranquility from all of his enemies. So therefore, David was not able to muster up the perfect kavana to build the Beis HaMikdash l'shma, because since he always had to face enemies that caused him hardship, by building Beis HaMikdash, he could not help but have personal benefit by building Beis HaMikdash. But Shlomo HaMelech, who was promised, irrespective of the Beis HaMikdash, to always be at peace, so he had nothing to gain. He didn't gain anything by building Beis HaMikdash. The reason why David couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because of the wars, it's not that his hands were stained in blood. It's that because of the wars he was always involved in, if he would build the Beis HaMikdash, he couldn't help but to think, oh, this would really be, give me a break from the enemies that surround me. But Shlomo HaMelech was promised to have peace and tranquility, so he stood nothing to gain by building the Beis HaMikdash. He was able to build the Beis HaMikdash Lishma. That's how the Malbim understands why David couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because of the wars. Not that his hands were stained in blood, but rather because he couldn't muster up perfect kavana. So Hashem wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be Lishma without any ulterior motive, and therefore since David was promised that there would be Shalom from building the Beis HaMikdash without any... David could not build the Beis HaMikdash totally Lishma. But Shlomai, who the Pasuk says would have been an Ish Menucha, Ata Yadata as David Avi, Kila Yucha Livnois Bayis L'Shem Hashem Eloikav. The reason is because of all the wars that surrounded him. However, Shlomai, who was promised to have peace irrespective of Beis HaMikdash, only he was able to build the Mikdash Lishma. So what do we see from here? We see that the ikar of the Mikdash is not the edifice. It's not the bricks. It's not the mortar. It's not the cement. The ikar is the kavana. So just like in Malachim and in Divrei Hayamim, we see the emphasis on the word Lashmi, so too in the Mishkan, it was critical, V'yikhu li truma li Lashmi. So the Lashma was a critical aspect of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. However, there was another very important aspect of the building of the base of the Mishkan, and that is, aside from the fact that it had to have been with a kavana lishma, the level of the Mishkan was also in accordance with the level of the people who were involved in building it. You know, the Sfarno, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, who... The Sfarno writes that the reason why the Mishkan was never destroyed, you know why the Mishkan was never destroyed? Because those who were involved with it were Tzadikei Hadar and Chassidei Olam. The Sfarno writes, the reason why the Mishkan was never Nifsad is because the Mishkan was Atzei Shitim Oimdim. It was Oimei La'ad Oli Omei Olamim. And it never fell into the hands of the enemies. As opposed to the Mikdash of Shlomai and the Kelim of Shlomai, that we know that when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it fell into the hands of Nevuzradin. Not so the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the reason for that is there are four ingredients in the Mishkan of Shlomai that contributed to why there are four reasons about the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, why this Mishkan was never destroyed. Number one, it was Mishkan Ha'edos. What does that mean, Mishkan Ha'edos? That the Luchais were there. And because it had the Luchais, which were Masei Elohim, through Moshe Rabbeinu, this special ingredient ensured the eternity of the Mishkan. Number two, it was Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe. It was under the auspices of Moshe, the Isha Elohim. Number three, it was through Isamar, the eminent son of Aaron. And number four, it was constructed by Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. So therefore, because it had these four ingredients, therefore it never fell into the hands of the enemy, but the Mikdash of Shlomai, do you know who built the first Beis HaMikdash? All the workers of the first Beis HaMikdash were from Tyre, Tzur. So even though the Shechina dwelt there, but nevertheless, many of the components went lost. They needed to fix it, sustain it, and it fell in the hands of the enemy. But the Bayis Sheni, that did not have any good attributes, the Shechina did not dwell, and it fell in the hands of the enemy, because in the Bayis Sheni there was no Luchais, and it was under the auspices of Koiresh, not Shloimai. There were no Levium involved, like we know that Ezra tried to find Levium, and none of the Levium came. So the Bayis Rishon, although you didn't have Moshe, and you didn't have you didn't have people of the stature of Bezalel, but at least it was under the auspices of Shloimai, and at least you had Leviim. In the Bayis Sheni, you didn't have any Leviim. So these are also very important ingredients of the building of the Mishkan. So aside from the fact that the Mishkan had to be built Lishma, so it comes out like this. Not only did the Kavanos that were had when building the Mishkan have an effect on the eternity of the Mishkan, but also the ingredients and the elements that were used to build the Mishkan also contributed to its eternity. Aside from that, we once spoke out that there are many items that the Mishkan were built of that came from the Avos HaKadoshim. The Briach HaTichon was from the tree that Amram Avinu planted in Be'er Sheva. The Krushim came from the Atzei Shittim that Yaakov Avinu planted. There were many things like the Avnei Shayam and the Avnei Miluim that came from Gan Eden. But now we're going to come to a very interesting ingredient. Aside from the fact that the Mishkan had to be built Lishma, aside from the fact that there were Luchais in the Mishkan, and it was under the auspices of Moshe and Isamar and Bezalel, and you had, aside from the Briach HaTichon that was from the Eshel of Avram and the Krushim that were from the Atzei Shittim of Yaakov, and all the various items that came from Gan Eden, there's another very interesting ingredient. And that is when a guy came to the Mishkan to write out a check, if we would look into his heart and we saw the guy was being stingy, let's say the guy was a billionaire and he was giving us $100,000, we wouldn't take it. We wouldn't take it. Why? Because it's only me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libay. It's only someone who his heart compelled him with generosity. Tikhu es chumasi. Which is a pela atzuma. What if a guy, a billionaire, calls up a shul and he says, I would like to give you $10,000. And you know the guy is being a cheapskate. What do you do with his check? You bring it to the nearest bank and you cash it immediately. What do you mean? But the guy's being stingy. Say, that's his problem. We'll deal with the fact that we need to cash the check. We do not, we're not going to return this guy's donation because of a lack of generosity. Why is it that this was an integral ingredient in the donation of the Mishkan that it has to be me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libay? Why was it so important that the donations to the Mishkan had to have been given with generosity? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma that why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gil HaRayah, Shfichas Damim. But Mikdash Sheni, they were Oisek in Torah, they were Oisek in Mitzvahs, they were Oisek in Gmilas Chasadim. Why was it destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. Question, Sinas Chinam? Who cares? What is so terrible about Sinas Chinam? Is Sinas Chinam a lav sheyesh by kareis? No. Is it even a lav sheyesh by maisa? No. It's a lav sheyesh by maisa. There's nothing Bezin could do to administer any kind of punishment for Sinas Chinam. So why was this such a chamor sin that just like the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui HaRayis, and Shfichas Damim, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam? How could Sinas Chinam be such a acute sin, such a terrible sin, that it's responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? And in order to answer this question, we have to introduce a very important idea. And that is, why does God need a Mishkan? God needs to reside on gold, on silver, on copper? Isn't Hashem Maloi Kal Aretz Kavodai? Doesn't the Navi say, Eze Bayis Asher Tivnu Li V'Eze Makai Menuchasi? What, you think the Shechina rests on physicality? Doesn't the Gemara Nivama say, Ami Shaira Al Eitzim Alvanim? You think God rests on stone and wood? Even if it's a beautiful building, God doesn't rest on a building. God rests on the Jewish people. Comes the Gra on Shir HaShirim, and the Gra says something fantastic. The Gra says that when the Pasuk says, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham, God rests on the Jewish people. The dwelling of the Shechina was on the heart of Bnei Yisrael. So this is another thing. God doesn't rest on buildings. He doesn't rest in shuls. He doesn't rest on things. God rests on Am Yisrael. But what does that mean, He rests on Am Yisrael? He rests on the hearts of Am Yisrael. However, there's no individual heart which is a worthy resting place for the Shekhinah. God only rests on the collective heart of Klal Yisrael. The collective heart of the Jewish people is the resting place for the Shekhinah. But Houston, we got a problem. How do we create something called the collective heart of the Jewish people? The answer is, if we can all contribute our hearts to one thing, then that thing represents and reflects the collective heart of the Jewish people. So if we all contribute with nedivos halev, with generosity of heart, to the Mishkan is then reflects the collective heart of the Jewish people. That's why it's so integral that if you donate to the Mishkan, we won't accept it. You have to donate your heart to the Mishkan. And the way you donate your heart is by giving Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libay. People have to contribute with generosity of heart. The Gra is teaching us that the Makayim Hashras Hashchina is the heart of Klal Yisrael. Not the heart of any individual, but the collective heart of the people. And the way to connect the heart of the people is that everyone has to give benedivas halev. By the way, this gives us a tremendous insight into why Sinas Chinam destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's not a punishment that if we hate each other, Hashem will punish us and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It's a natural consequence. You see, what is the Mishkan? The Mishkan and the Mikdash is the collective heart of the Jewish people. But if there is Sinas Chinam, and there is Pirud Levavos, that means our hearts are disconnected, then we no longer have the Makayim that is necessary to be a resting place for the Shekhinah. You see, the Shekhinah rests on our collective hearts. When we all come together with generosity of spirit, and we donate to the Mishkan. But if we can't stand each other, then we cannot reckon that this edifice reflects the collective hearts of the Jewish people. There is no collective heart of the Jewish people. We can't get along with each other. There's Pirud Levavos. Once there's Pirud Levavos, it's not that it's a punishment the Beis HaMikdash needs to be destroyed. It's that there is no Mishkan. There is no Mikdash. The essence of the Mikdash, the reality of the Mikdash has been disintegrated. The Mikdash is the collective hearts of the Jewish people. But if we have Pirud Levavos, there is no collective hearts of the Jewish people. Now we understand why it was so necessary that the donations of the Mishkan have to be Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libay. By the way, you know, there were certain set things that everyone had that you could contribute to. Meaning like this. Even though Bnei Yisrael needed to give according to their Nidavas Halev, and there was no specific thing that somebody had to give. In other words, nobody had to give gold. Nobody had to give copper. Everyone could give Kafi Nidavas Libam. But there was one thing that was legislated that everyone had to contribute to equally. And that is everyone had to equally contribute to the Adonim. And how did everyone contribute to the Adonim? Everyone contributed to the Adonim by giving the Trumas Shkalim. Each Jew gave Machzis HaShekel, and from the Machzis HaShekel, they created the Adonim. We read about it in Parashas Pekudei, that the Kesef Pekudei Ho'eda, Me'as Kikar, Ve'elef Ushvameois Ve'chamisha, Ve'shivim Shekel, Ve'shekel HaKodesh. Everyone gave a Machzis HaShekel, and from that Machzis HaShekel, they made the Adonim. So the Adonim came from the Machzis HaShekel of each individual Jew. Why was it that of all the things, everyone needed to contribute a Machzis HaShekel equally for the Adonim? The idea of the Machzis HaShekel, the Al-Shech explains, is why did every Jew give a Machzis HaShekel and not a Shekel Shalem? The Al-Shech brings from Rav Shama Al-Kabetz that the symbolism of the Machzis HaShekel was to show every Jew that the importance of their unity. Let no Jew think that they are an island unto themselves, but rather everyone gives the machzis hashekel to indicate that each person is only a half an entity without joining up with the rest of the nation. The message of the machzis hashekel was that no individual stands by themselves. Everyone is a small part of the sum total. The message of the machzis hashekel was to show the unity of the Jewish people, that nobody is shalem by themselves. By the way, the Maaser Rokeach, Masech Teshkalim, also says the gematria of shekel is nefesh. Shekel is 430. Nefesh is 430. That's why we give a machzis hashekel. Why? To show that we're a half a shekel without, we're a half a nefesh without our friend, without the rest of Am Yisrael. So by giving the machzis hashekel, Klal Yisrael came to the appropriate achdos. We once explained in the past, that's why the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, this week is Shabbos Shkolim, that we preempted Haman. We read about Parsha Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh Adar. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah, Yud Gimel and Beis Amar Yish Lakish, Galiv Yadua Lefnei Misha Amar B'Hayo Olam, that Haman was destined to meet out Shkolim to destroy Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we preempt his Shkolim and we give the Machzis HaShekel. How does this preempt Haman? Haman wanted to demonstrate that we're lacking in Achdos. Haman pointed out, Yeshnoi Amechad, Mefuzar Umefayrat, that we are a nation that is scattered and disparate. And by us preempting Haman and giving the Machzis HaShekel, we demonstrate our unity. Because again, Shekel is gematria nefesh. We give a half a shekel to indicate that we're, so to speak, a half a soul without the rest of the Jewish people. The Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver writes, that's why they made the structure of the Mishkan from the Machzis HaShekel, because the Mishkan stood on this idea that the Shechina dwells on a place that signifies the unity of the Jewish people. So, since through Achdos, Klal Yisrael becomes a Mishkan for the Shechina, as we pointed out, God doesn't dwell on sticks and stones. He dwells on the collective heart of the Jewish people. Therefore, the main structure of the Mishkan, the structure that everything rests on, the sockets, came from the Machzis HaShekel, which indicated the unity of Klal Yisrael. So we're learning about many of the very vital ingredients that were necessary to ensure that the Mishkan would be Atzei Shittim Oimdim, an eternal structure. Number one, it had to be Lishma. Just like David couldn't build the Mikdash because he stood to gain personally, to rest from his enemies, the Mishkan had to be Lishma. Secondly, the Mishkan was made by great people who had great intentions. It had the Luchais Ho'edos in it. It was constructed under the auspices of Moshe, under the auspices of Yisamar, under the auspices of Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. It had in it special ingredients, the Eshel of Avram. It had the Atzei Shittim of Yaakov. It had ingredients from Gan Eden. And then it reflected the collective heart of the Jewish people because everyone had to make sure to give. Kol ish asher yedvenu libay, each person gave benedivas halev. And finally, the Adonim were made out of the Machzis HaShekel, which reflected the unity of the Jewish people. So these were some of the ingredients. And this week we read Parsha Shkolim. And the Shkolim were used also as the very foundation of the Adonim, which held up the entire Mishkan. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I wish you a wonderful day. Bracha v'atzlacha. And Kol Tov. Kol Tov, everyone. Have a great day. Baruch Tia.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.